Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
Purdue picked up its third win versus a ranked opponent on Saturday, beating Iowa 38-36 in the final seconds. Now the Boilermakers can get bowl eligible with their next win, perhaps, and maybe likely, at Minnesota on Saturday. I'm Kyle Charters, Matt Stevens, and Brian Newbert, who will be by in a moment to talk some football along with basketball, which opens on Tuesday night. They're here for Gold and Black Radio. All right, Matt, let's get right to it. Saturday's action. The Boilermakers have to grind back into it, get the win at the end after falling behind. You know, Matt, it wasn't Purdue's A game, but still the Boilermakers pull out a victory. And considering we've talked so much about how Purdue has such a small margin for error, I think winning against a ranked opponent when you haven't brought your A game in every facet maybe tells a little bit about the progress that this program has made.
So we're going to go right to my report card, huh? Like, let's just do this, huh? Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of chatter on our message boards about the grades that I gave out to Purdue, which a lot of fans are, you know, given their opinion that they weren't high enough. Well, I don't think Purdue played anything more than a B, from a letter grade standpoint, more than a B game. And they beat a team that was ranked number 16 in the first college football playoff rank. That's the world. Here's the world we live in, Kyle. Purdue can play a B game and beat a top 20 team, and then the following week be a 12, 13-point favorite on the road in a Big Ten game. That's the world that Purdue fans live in now, is that we've talked a lot, and I still think the margin of error is thinner than it is at a lot of other places in the Big Ten in terms of Purdue, but it's not razor thin anymore like it used to be. Purdue doesn't have to play perfect to beat people. If the big plays of Jeff Brohm's offense are clicking, they can negate some mistakes. And they sure made a lot of mistakes against Iowa, but they sure made a lot of big plays too, more than anybody's ever made all year against the Iowa defense. And I just thought, yeah, I thought, you know, kind of using the Tiger Woods analogy, like he won tournaments in his prime playing a B-level game. I thought Purdue played a B-level game and beat Iowa. And it kind of showed in the lead. You know, I thought they played their guts out to get, you know, three different double-digit leads. But I thought they made a heck of a lot of mistakes to give up that last double-digit lead and almost lost the ball game. So there's a lot of things for Jeff Brohm to clean up and coach up, you know, for a pretty important road game this week. But he can do it off of a win now instead of a disappointing loss. And I think that's a world that Purdue fans have kind of hoped to be living in for a long, long time. And that's where you live right now. And I think it's pretty exciting.
There's a lot of times that Purdue in recent history here would have lost a game like that, a game that they led, seemingly had things in control, and then let sort of fall apart through the third and fourth quarters. It does say something about the leadership and sort of what Purdue has been through, that they were able to sustain that, didn't get down too much, and were able to make some plays in the final couple of minutes. When really, I mean, when Iowa had the ball and the lead, you had to feel like Iowa was sort of in control of things, because that offense, the way it's geared, the way it traditionally has played, is capable of chewing some minutes off. And you know, Purdue created a couple of holding penalties against them. I'm not just going to say that Iowa picked up holding penalties, because I think Purdue put the pressure on them that forced them to make those penalties. And, you know, Purdue sort of did some things to get the ball back in a position to get that victory. So, you know, there are a lot of times here in recent memory that Purdue would not have been able to do those things to sort of right its own ship a little bit to get going again in the right direction.
2 points I want to make here. One is that what you addressed first, which was Purdue being able to come back, get that last drive, get that field goal, and win 38-36. I asked about what I mean, as cliche as this is going to sound, I guess, to guys like you, Kyle, but I've only been on the beat for a year, but I asked David Blau about what I call old Purdue. That old Purdue would have folded up the tent and gone home the minute that Iowa took that lead. And he agreed. He said, yeah, that would have happened. I asked it to Lorenzo Neal, and he said, yeah, that would have happened. Those are two co-captains on both sides of the ball that realized that Purdue did something significant by being able to have three different double-digit leads against Iowa, lose that the last double-digit lead, and still manage to win the game. I think all the air would have been let out of the balloon the minute that, you know, Iowa made it 36-35, and I don't know if Purdue would have recovered. I agree with you on that. But David Blau said it best to me and said, we're not old Purdue anymore. And I think that that's pretty relevant and an accurate statement when you've beaten three ranked teams this year for the first time in 15 years. The second thing is just quickly I want to address is, yes, Kirk Ferentz, they were holding penalties. You know, Lorenzo Neal got bear hugged and then tackled, essentially. And then there's a photo on goldenblack.com that I didn't even notice that, but I used it for our upon further review. And it is, I didn't even know that this is what it was, but I had to go back and look. And it's the second holding call against Mekhi Sargent, the running back. And he's literally holding Marcus Bailey's arms behind his back. By definition, that's a hold. So I understand Kirk Ferentz is really frustrated about two holding calls at the end of the game when there hadn't been any holding penalties. But he either saw on Friday or on Sunday, or he'll see today that those were both legitimate calls. And I don't see how you can call it any other way.
We got on, at least I did, the offensive line a little bit after the loss to Michigan State, feeling like at the line of scrimmage they got out-physicaled. I thought what they did on Saturday was a great rebound and probably the best game that unit has played this season. And heck, maybe even in the 1.5 years that Jeff Brohm has been the head coach at Purdue. Those guys really, I think, stepped up to the challenge against what is a very good Iowa front four.
I thought they gave David Blau enough time to complete those deep balls. I think when you go up against two NFL caliber defensive ends, which is what Iowa had, yes, Eric Swingler and Matt McCann are going to struggle. And they kind of did. I mean, they weren't perfect. But I thought they got the job done in the sense that they allowed David at least enough time to get deep ball throws off. And that's really the accomplishment. And that's really what you're trying to accomplish if you're in Jeff Brohm's offense. You're not trying to, you know, prove that you're, you know, the best left tackle or right tackle in the Big Ten. You're just trying to hold those guys off for, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds. And I thought they did that. I also want to point out that I thought the tight ends, specifically Cole Herdman and the running backs, Markell Jones and DJ Knox, who they kept in a lot, except for, and then they would, mm-hmm. they would sweep them out afterwards. But they kept those guys in a lot to help out David Blau in the passing game. I thought they did a really good job of chipping and at least helping those guys on the outside. And then if you go guard to guard, Kyle, you know, I put this in my film review out on goldenblack.com. But they got guards out on the perimeter in that final drive, and I thought it allowed Markell Jones to get a 12-yard gain on that first carry. It allows David Blau to convert that 4th and 2. Shane mm-hmm. Evans got out on the perimeter and blocked two different guys on the 4th and 2. I thought Dennis Edwards did a great job when they asked him to get out on the perimeter. And when they were able to use their athletes at guard, center, and guard, get them out on the perimeter and get them into the second level of Iowa's defense, I thought that they were really effective in the run game. And I thought that was a really good plan, not only by Jeff Brohm, but by the entire offensive staff.
So Purdue now with 5 victories, 5 in its last 6 games after the 0-3 started, will travel up to Minnesota for what is a 3:30 Eastern time kickoff. The Gophers reeling a little bit after their loss over the weekend, and P.J. Fleck fires Rob Smith after Minnesota allowed 430 rushing yards and a whole lot of points to Illinois. So is this game just set up for Purdue, or Purdue, should it be concerned that it's walking into a little bit of a trap here?
Well, historically, correct me if I'm wrong, Kyle, the last time that a team fired its defensive coordinator the week before they saw Purdue, yeah, that didn't go well for Missouri last year, right? Like, so based off of history, I'm not really sure how this interim – first of all, I'm not really sure about the timing. I mean, really, Rob Smith needed to be fired, 3 games before the season's over? Second of all, so this interim defensive coordinator is going to come in and you know, have this genius plan to be able to stop this Jeff Brohm offense, which is second in the league and or second in the league in total offense and second in the league in passing offense and I think second in the league in scoring offense. I don't buy it. Minnesota has specific problems on defense, and it's twofold. One is they're playing young guys. They're playing way too many young guys. Two, they have no pass rush other than, you know, the Big Ten leader in sacks. They have one guy.
Yeah.
I looked at it yesterday, Kyle, when I was doing my homework on Minnesota. They have Chase Coughlin, the Big Ten leader in sacks, with 9. Nobody else on the team has more than 1. I've never seen that kind of disparity before. So if you can't go get the quarterback against this Purdue team, fans have already seen it this year when it comes to Nebraska and Illinois and, you know, Missouri. If you can't go get the quarterback, David Blau is going to pick you apart, and this offense will pick you apart. And I just – the matchup sets up so well for Purdue to be able to do that. I know it's supposed to, I guess, snow a little bit in Minneapolis, but if they can figure out a way to throw the ball around a little bit, I think Minnesota's in deep trouble. I don't think the line is completely ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, Matt, we'll look for more from you on the site, particularly after Jeff Brohm's Monday press conference. Do that at goldandblack.com. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll bring in Brian Newbert. We'll get his impressions of the football game. We'll also talk to him a little bit about basketball, the Boilermakers opening on Tuesday against Fairfield. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brohm squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle Charters here with Brian Newbert talking a little bit of football. By the way, be sure to check out Alan Karpik's conversation with Jerry Palm about bowl projections now with Purdue at 5 victories and looking like it's well on its way to number 6, maybe as soon as this weekend, and perhaps more. Brian? Could Purdue get to 8 here? I mean, a week ago I would have said, you know, I'm feeling 7. But I had Purdue losing to Iowa. And now you feel like, you know, they're a significant favorite at Minnesota. They could be a favorite, and maybe they will be. It'll be close to a pick'em, though, against Wisconsin. Then you should be a favorite at Indiana. I mean, what, you know, can Purdue get to 8 victories here and suddenly be a team that won 8 of 9 going into the postseason?
Well, under a very reasonable set of circumstances, Purdue could be at 8 right now. And I don't say that to kind of shine a light on what might have been when obviously things were going very well, but I'm just saying that Purdue's lost 4 games that they could have won, every single one of them. They were all very, very close games, and that leads you to believe that This is a team that has a chance to win every single time it plays. There's nobody left on the schedule that you look at and say they can't beat them. And if there was somebody on the schedule period this season that you would look at and say they can't beat them, they already beat them. So that would be Ohio State, of course. So this has obviously been, you know, an astonishingly competitive team under Jeff Brohm, no matter who they play the last 2 years, not just this year. They haven't gotten blown out by anybody. They haven't been beaten decisively, really, by a whole lot of people. Every game they've played, no matter who it's been, they've had an opportunity to win that game. Even the Michigan game last year, probably the most one-sided game they played from a margin perspective, they led that game at halftime. This is a team that obviously has won a lot of games relative to what it was before these last two seasons, but it's had a chance in every single game. That can't really think of many better compliments for how far a program has come in a short period of time than that.
Yeah, no doubt. It wasn't that long ago where it felt like the average margin of loss was, I don't know, 25 points.
1,000.
Somewhere
yeah.
around there. That might be an exaggeration, but it might not be all that far off either. Purdue did lose those games close early in the season. They win this one close. What has happened in those couple of months that allowed Purdue sort of to withstand its own mistakes to be able to come back to get a win?
Well, I think every game's different, but I think the offense. I think it's just been the offense coming alive. I mean, Purdue outscored Iowa the other day. And I think what you saw happen was I think Purdue's offense got in Iowa's head a little bit. And I was going to detail this in my column later, but Iowa went for two before it had to go for two. And sometimes when an offense is really rolling, it gets in the head of the opponent. And they start to worry about how much they can stop you, how many points do we need to win this game since we can't stop them. So you go for two before you need two, you don't get it, and then later you go for two again when you don't absolutely positively have to have two, but you're trying to make up for not getting the two before, and then you end up losing by 2 points, which would have been the two extra points that they didn't try. So I just think the way Purdue's moving offensively in, you know, four of these last five games – has been what the program is building toward, has been what Purdue was last year when it was at its best. And, you know, Purdue, as we've kind of talked about, they put more time and energy and effort and thought and whatever else it might be, sweat equity, whatever you want to say, they put more of that into throwing the ball down the field and making big plays than probably any college staff in America. And it's just amazing sometimes how easy they make that look, throwing the ball down the field. And when it's working, they're really hard to stop. And it has to take a toll on opponents. And it really puts all the pressure on them. And I think that's kind of what you've seen in four of these last five games. Purdue's been able to make those big plays. It probably extends past, you know, four of the last five games into the Missouri game. A little bit before that, I suppose. But that's been the thing. The offense has just kind of come alive. Purdue's been really hard to stop, and it's really kind of set the terms of play every time Purdue's been out there. And this is what Purdue wants to be as a program, obviously. And sometimes it takes years to establish the identity you're working toward. It didn't take them very long. It started at the end of last year and has carried over into this year ever since the Missouri game, basically.
All right, let's talk a little bit of basketball. The Boilermakers will open their season Tuesday night against Fairfield. I assume that's a college and not like the local company team or something.
Correct.
From here in Lafayette.
Correct.
So my feeling about this Purdue team is some of these early games, you know, they're going to have to, you know, sort of feel their way through a little bit, right? I mean, and it's good that you play some of these early games against, you know, teams you should beat. But for Purdue, this is going to be a lot of a feeling out process, it seems like. It was even against the, you know, Marion in the exhibition game to some extent last week.
Yeah, and for that reason, I would be very wary of labeling any game an opponent Purdue should beat, because I think this Purdue team has the widest range of possibilities for this season you've seen in a very long time. And I think they're very much an unknown commodity. And them being 24th in the AP poll, I think signals a great deal of benefit of the doubt they're getting based off the success they've had recently, the reputation Matt Painter kind of has in college basketball. And I just think there's a lot of question marks with this team. And I think some of these non-conference games where you play your way into some things are especially important for this group, because these games might be tighter than, you know, they ordinarily would be with an older and, you know, perhaps even better team. Purdue just has a lot of stuff they have to figure out. They have a lot of new or younger guys who are working into much more prominent roles. Even the guys, you know, coming back who are known commodities, specifically Carson Edwards being one, are playing very different roles now. And so much is different. The styles play at both ends of the floor are going to be very different. You don't know a whole lot about this team going into this year, and they go play a Fairfield. 9 times out of 10, you beat Fairfield decidedly. I don't know what to expect Friday. I would expect Purdue to win, obviously, but I don't know if it's going to be the straight line that, you know, it ordinarily would be, just because there's so much unknown about this team that, it's going to be really, really interesting to watch all year. And this is probably going to be a process. It is probably going to be one of those situations where maybe there's going to be some bumps in the road early in the season. And it's a non-conference schedule set up to have a lot of bumps, because of some very difficult road games. A pretty good, non-conference schedule kind of all around, but this is probably one of those years where you expect, or you obviously hope, that the caliber of basketball you're playing in November is very different from the caliber of basketball you're playing in March. Purdue's going to have to get better through the course of the year, as is true of every year, but I think much more so this year because there's so much new involved with this team.
What are your biggest questions going into the season? If you can tell me a couple of those within maybe 2 minutes.
Everything, pretty much. Obviously, yeah. There's a bunch of guys who have to get a lot better from last year because they're playing very different roles. Nojel Eastern kind of tops that list. It's a very important position he's playing. Matt Harms, obviously, going from Isaac Haas's backup, albeit a very important one last year, to being the guy at center now. I think those two guys, you know, Purdue has a nice little history going of sophomores making huge improvements in year two. I think if Purdue can get a little bit of that there, I think they're going to be a lot better off than they were. I think style play, obviously, are they going to be good defensively, as the sum of their parts suggest they should be because of their athleticism, because of their competitiveness across the board, the energy they play with. But are they going to be disciplined? I think they're going to be a decent defensive team, but I think they're going to give up as many layups as they take from people because they're going to be a little bit overeager, a little bit overexuberant. Mm-hmm. Where does the offense come outside Carson Edwards? Who's that number two scorer? Ryan Klein looks like that guy right now, and then some. But what else? Where else do the points come from? You know, Purdue's had incredibly balanced teams over a very long period of time here, offensively, and now you just don't know. Depth. I had to guess Purdue plays about 7 guys right now. Perhaps 8. Leadership might be the biggest thing for me in terms of questions, because you don't have personalities among your seniors that scream overt leadership. Obviously, you want your best players to be your best leaders. We will see how Carson Edwards handles that role. He's going to be in one of those roles where he has to make people around him better. That's just the standard. Great players have to be held to sometimes, and we will see how he handles that role. How he handles that role when things aren't going well on the road. Purdue's down 5 points with 7 minutes to go. You know, how does he kind of handle that? How does he make everybody better? How does he keep everybody's head in the game? How does he keep everybody calm? You know, stuff like that. There's just more questions than I can even detail here. You gave me 2 minutes. I probably took like 5. I certainly apologize, but I think that illustrates how many questions there are surrounding this team.
Yeah, certainly are. Will be interesting, fun at times, and maybe frustrating at times to watch this season. We'll look for much more on the site from you, Brian, about the Boilermakers as they get set for the opener on Tuesday night at goldandblack.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right, let's take a break. We'll back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar, Sixth Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text, 765-412-5217, or email at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters.
A big week ahead for Purdue football taking on Minnesota. Be sure to check out the latest headlines at goldandblack.com. And, of course, the basketball tipping off its season as well, taking on Fairfield on Tuesday evening. Be sure to listen to Gold and Black Radio Express, Alan Karpik's conversation with Jerry Palm about potential bowl destinations for the Boilermakers. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. We'll be back 11 o'clock on Friday as we preview Purdue's game at Minnesota. For Matt Stevens and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.